don't like it, keep listening. Yo, it's a Saturday, I'm home, 6:30 chilling, surfing the internet to see what I'm feeling, laying on Blog Talk, see what they feeling, came across the barbershop, stepped into the building, real life sports talk, real entertainment, might not really keep his ear into the pavement, finger on the pulse of the industry, save it, you don't like the way brag, you ain't gotta say shh. Listen anyway, every Thursday, him and Corey G, tell him what you tripping on any day, barbershop mixed with talk show, there we go, give you the best damn show on the radio. $1 million audience meets with your favorite host. $1 million connections, build a force. Most electric, most eclectic. Listen to the shows where the pros expected. 2 shows a week with an A-class guest list. The best damn show on the radio. Check this.
Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show in radio.
What is going on, everybody? You are back in tune with the Sports Authority and other stuff. I am under the weather. My throat is not right. My voice is not right. But yet and still, we are here to do this sports talk thing for anywhere between 60 to 90 minutes. So let me bring my man, Paris, a.k.a. P-Dawg, into the building. What's going on, man? How you doing this evening?
How you doing, man? Are you sure that you're under the weather, or are you just trying to pull off that Barry White thing in case we have you email this?
No, man. I've been sick since Wednesday of last week. So I'm just trying to get right. Just trying to get right. Man, this week, I guess, we are going to discuss a little bit. We had the Hall of Fame game canceled. Of course, we've got the Olympics going on. We have a little A-Rod information. I know you've also brought up Ray Allen and KD. Is he a villain for going to Golden State and whatever else we come up with? Where would you like to start this evening?
Oh, let's just go ahead on and get over the KD thing real quick.
All right. You got the floor, brother. Is KD a villain?
You know, I was listening to the radio, and that was the big thing this week on NBA radio was, now is Kevin Durant a villain? Now is he a bad guy? Because, you know, a lot of people, a lot of fans, a lot of talking heads are just so upset that Kevin Durant, the free agent, decided to go to Golden State, because, you know, it was just weekend, you know all what, for him to go to a place where he has a chance to win championships, multiple championships. I mean, that was horrible. How can he do something like that? And saying it out, they lost to, you know, he's going to the team to beat him. So that just makes him the weakest individual ever, and I can't believe that he would have a mitigated gall to do something that doggone wrong. And, of course, I'm being sarcastic. Well, before I get to that, let me ask you a question. You know, I listen to a lot of people talk. And one thing we always say about basketball series, one thing we say the difference between, you know, the NCAA tournament and the NBA playoffs, or even, you know, NHL compared to the NFL playoffs, is that in the playoffs, the best team wins. It's the series. And during a series, the best team is going to win. Where, you know, the NCAA is more of an any given day. You know, anything can happen. We see the upset. You follow me so far?
Yes, sir.
So if that is true, and if Golden State beat Oklahoma City, why this newfound swell of support that somehow OKC was better than Golden State? Or is it
another way
to pile on to Kevin Durant?
That's what I was going to say. I think it's another way for people to pile on Kevin Durant a little bit, or it's just another way for people to take away from Golden State, which I think is also another part of that equation. I think there are people that, you know, when Golden State lost to Cleveland, it made it easy to say that Golden State wasn't this, that, or the third. So,
right.
You know, personally, I think, you know, Golden State was the better team, period. I mean, Oklahoma City had two really good players and then some nice pieces. Now, as far as KD being a villain, I don't think he's a villain. And I don't think he's wrong. Now, the competitor in me thinks that it's a little suspect, like going to your arch rival, going to a man-made situation, you know, like that. You know, the competitor in me doesn't really care for the move.
Right there.
But the man in me can't call him any kind of – I mean, the objective, and you and I have had this conversation – when we have conversations about all-time players, there's always people that want to bring up rings. Well, you can't bring up rings in a conversation about greatness and then critique a guy for going to try to get the same ring you're going to use against him if he doesn't get an OKC. So do I have a problem with him as a man going to Golden State? No. Do I have, he was a free agent, first of all. He was a free agent, just like LeBron James. He's free to do whatever he wanted. He didn't make a big fuss about it. He didn't, you know, hold a press conference to, you know, dance around or nothing like that. He just went. It's not the same as LeBron James. People want to try to make it the same. It's not the same. He didn't say he was going to win 8 championships. It's not the same. But, again, the competitor in me doesn't care for it, but the man in me has no gripes, and I'm not going to sit here and begrudge the man for using his free agency to his best, to the best of his ability to put himself in a situation he wanted to be in.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, but you said something that I've also heard quite a few times, and I find it interesting, and that's when people say, how could you go to your arch rival? Now, unless I'm crazy, Oklahoma City and Golden State have played in the playoffs a whopping grand total of one time. Let's not make this out to be Chicago and Detroit, Detroit and Boston, recently the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics, even though Ray Allen sort of did that, but he was old, so it's cool. Or, you know, out west, we've seen the Spurs and Grizzlies for a number of years. You know, the Kings and the Lakers had memorable playoff series. So I do not feel like one playoff series makes you an arch rival. There really wasn't any history between these teams except for last season. You know, they had a memorable playoff series last season, and I just took that for it is what it is. You know, that one memorable. Actually, Oklahoma City has more playoff history with the San Antonio Spurs. Those guys have matched up, I believe, 3 times in the past 5 years. So if you were going to call it an arch rival, that's a rivalry. Golden State and Oklahoma City was a playoff series, in my opinion. One run around the flagpole doesn't make you a rivalry. They weren't a rivalry during the regular season. They were just, you know, two teams playing, a 1 seed and a 3 seed. But somehow during the playoffs, they became this big rivalry. And I also feel like the love and outpour for Russell Westbrook is a little bit overboard. Now he's made out to be some type of courageous soldier, and I think he set himself up at the press conference because he used the word And I mentioned it to the sports group that I think professional athletes should stay away from. And that word is loyalty. I don't think he should have ever used that word. Because I tell you what's going to happen. They're not going to win a championship. They're not going to come close. He's going to go home in the second round, most likely the first. First round this year, maybe second round next year, depending on what they can do this summer in free agency, even though they don't have a lot of cap room now that Russ has resigned. And in 2 years, he's going to leave Oklahoma City. And that's why I think you shouldn't use words like that. Because now when you leave, meaning you will opt out of your contract and leave, now are you being disloyal? It's a business. And I think that owners, players, and I know the media likes to throw that word around, but to me, nobody owes anyone anything. A player is not obligated to stay with the franchise that drafted him for the rest of his career. When he is a free agent, he has every right to go out on the market and find the best situation and the most money possible. On the flip side, an organization, the only thing they need to be loyal toward a player is paying him his paychecks when they're due. But just like that, when a player is a free agent, the organization isn't obligated to pay him for services if they don't see that he's worth the amount that he's asking for. Or maybe due to injury concerns, they want to move on. So that means that you're disloyal. So every time you trade a player, are you being disloyal? No, it's business. And to me, that's what sports is. You know, we've seen these, you know, sort of parting gift contracts given to guys like Dirk Nowitzki and Kobe Bryant. And if an organization chooses to do that, hey, great on them. But on the flip side, if they go, hey, you know what? A la Dwayne Wade in Miami, even though I think it was a little mix up there. But, you know, if they decide that, hey, this is our line in the sand, we're not going past this, then that's okay too. That is okay. Yeah. I just feel like that word needs to be retired from sports vernacular because it's not about loyalty. It is a business. First and foremost, I know it's cute and it's trendy to throw that word around, you know, when you're trying to – usually you're either trying to prop somebody up or trying to tear somebody down when you throw that word around, you know. So it becomes one of those catchphrases, you know, one of those shock value words. But in my honest opinion, that's a word that really shouldn't be used when it comes to sports because it's business first.
I'll say this. Excuse me. I don't have a problem – I didn't hear the press conference, so I don't want to say anything one way or the other too far left or right. But I don't have a problem with – if he says he wants to be loyal, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it's cute. But, you know, when you leave, or if you leave, and I'll say if, it's going to be thrown back at you. And we mm-hmm. as fans, if we know nothing else, we know that – organizations are not loyal. They're loyal as long as you're bringing something to the table. As long as it's in their best interest to have you, they're loyal to you. Once that's over, so is the loyalty.
But see,
I find it funny that fans would throw loyalty around when fans are quick to jump ship and jump to different teams. So if fans can't even be loyal as fans, how can you expect the guy whose life, whose career is on the line to be quote-unquote loyal? He's only loyal to himself. That's all he's obligated to be loyal to. Once he's not under contract, his loyalty is to him and his. That's it. When he's under contract, he needs to be loyal to the organization. When his contract is up, he needs to be loyal to him and his family. Period, end of story.
That's the same way I see it. Even though, you know, this week, hey, loyalty has been a key word. I figure we're going to hear that, you know, more and more in the years to come in the NBA. That's the new catchword, you know. But as far as getting back to the original question, do I think that KD is a villain? I will say I have two answers to that, no and yes. Because in my opinion, sports villains, especially in basketball, it's more predicated on the way that you play. You know, like the Bad Boys were villains. The New York Knicks were villains. The Boston Celtics, to a certain degree, were villains. But as we see with LeBron James and now with Kevin Durant, if you are on a certain level in the NBA, and if you do something that the masses don't agree with, then in today's time, yes, you will be a villain. And the bad thing about that is it's only maybe four or five players that fall in that category. You know, LaMarcus Aldridge was viewed as the best power forward in the NBA last summer when he left, and nobody shed a tear. Hell, we were all saying he should go to San Antonio. So it's only really about maybe four to five guys that could actually fall under that umbrella, because for most of the guys, we will support them leaving. We will encourage them to leave. We will say, man, this guy needs to go here. If he goes here, man, this team is going to be nasty. But out of the 450 players in the NBA, roughly around that number, 445 can do that without any backlash. But there's four or five guys that were like, okay, wait a minute. But if you do leave, you can't go here. You can't join.
And that's
guys.
What I was about to say. I don't think him leaving is what made him a villain to some people. I think going to Golden State is what, in some people's eyes,
made
him
LeBron James
a villain.
When he went to Miami. When LeBron James went to Miami, it was the same thing. He was a villain because he was going with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. If he had just went to Miami, nobody would have said anything.
The after party didn't help. The after party and the ESPN
the
special, those things did not help. You know, I was cool with LeBron going to Miami. I mean, because I wanted him to come here. So I couldn't then turn around and be like, oh, that's crazy that he would go to Miami. My issue was with LeBron was the after party, win eight titles. Like I said, KD did none of that. He just quietly went about his business. I mean, but it's today, man. It's what people do. It's social media. It's Facebook. It's Twitter. It's Instagram. It's all those social media sites. You know, like I said earlier today on Facebook, I made a post and I said, you know, it's amazing how racists, you know, are comfortable coming out when they have an alias and nobody can see their face. And to kind of translate that to all the social media, it's easy for people to spread their personal opinions and for other people to either, you know, to see it and respond to it. At the end of the day, KD did what was best for him and his family. He didn't shun Oklahoma City. He was a free agent. But you best believe if that dude broke his leg and couldn't play again, that Oklahoma City would have told him, thank you. You know, but we have a position here in the organization. If you want to take one of these advisory jobs, but we're not going to pay you millions of dollars. Loyalty only goes as far as loyalty only lasts as long as you can provide. Period.
That's true. We'll get back into this subject a little bit later because I agree with what you're saying, but in a way I still don't, because I don't even think that's loyalty. I just think that's just business. I don't think it's loyalty. I just think it's business, because you are making a business decision when you are electing to keep players around because they're producing for you. I don't think that's loyalty.
We don't have to mince words. You can call it whatever you want to call it. At the end of the day, we both believe the same thing. You aren't obligated to stay once your contract is up, period.
His contract is 100%
up. He didn't ask for a trade. He didn't force his way out. His contract was up. He left. We can agree on that.
Yes, we can
agree on that. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if he had come to Chicago, I would have zero issues. So I'm not going to have any issue with that. All right, let's keep it moving. Let's take a quick step into the world of the NFL. The Hall of Fame game was canceled. I've said for years, Paris, and and not just about football, but I've said it in football before. I think they try to do too much with all of this designs on the field. I've said the same thing with basketball. When they put all that stuff on the court and then players are slipping around on it, you know, the advertisement of the game, the selling out, so to speak, and I say so to speak because sometimes, like with the Hall of Fame, it wasn't necessarily selling out as much as it was just over-advertising. But games sell itself. Putting all that stuff on, you know, you had to know that that would have some kind of effect one way or the other, you know. And I just thought it was a bad, bad look for the NFL. But with that said, the question you posed was it a big deal, a little deal, or was it somewhere in the middle of who cares? I will give my quick answer. I wasn't really planning on watching it, but I can't say who cares simply because there's a lot on the line. You had guys that were out there that were going to be fighting, you know, trying to, you know, get some playing time to show for jobs. For me, it was a who cares. But for the NFL, I think it's a big deal. I'll answer it like that. What was your take on it?
I don't think this means absolutely nothing to me. And I think as far as the NFL, I don't think it was a big deal. It's funny because I remember last year Jordy Nelson got hurt in one of these games. I believe it was the Hall of Fame game against Pittsburgh. And I remember when the schedule came out, the coach for Green Bay mad because they were going to have a fifth preseason game again. You only need four. This is five. So as far as player evaluation, you know, I've listened to plenty of coaches say that four is enough. So this is an extra. And to me, it was a no deal because I really just don't care about that game. I think the whole Hall of Fame weekend is overblown. I've told you this before. I'm probably in the minority on this, but I'm not a big speech guy. I'm not going to lie. Maybe it's because I was in the military for so long, and if you're in the military, believe me, you listen to a lot of speeches. It's almost every day. You're either listening to one or you're giving one. So I really don't have a desire to sit and listen to people talk. It would have to be a guy that plays for my team or a guy that I, you know, just really like. You know, for instance, when Allen Iverson goes into the Basketball Hall of Fame, I might tune in to that one because I got a feeling that's going to be an entertaining speech. Because he's going to be from the heart. He's going to shoot straight. And no telling what the hell AI might say. So I might tune into that one. But I'm not a speech guy. I've never been the guy to sit there and just watch, you know, these guys get up there and tell their speeches. You heard the story once, you heard it all. That's just my opinion. I know I'm in the minority on that. Maybe I'm just a mean old dude, but I could care less. As far as the game itself, it was a mix-up. But I just really don't think it's that big of a deal. And I know we've talked about this before, but we've gotten to the point to where no matter what the NFL does, people will go crazy, overreact. And that's all I keep thinking about is I listen to all these shows, and I listen to them talk about how the NFL preseason is a money grab, how teams really only need three games to do the proper evaluation. How if you look at all these preseason and all these sports, basketball, football, baseball, this is tradition carried over from when athletes at that point in time, a lot of time in the NFL, they worked second jobs to help make up the income. But now the game has evolved and players are working out all year round. You have OTAs. And so that whole getting in shape aspect, while it's still there, is nowhere near where it used to be. And teams halftime evaluate players during the offseason, during the OTA. So, you know, now you just evaluate it in you know, under live fire, so to say. So I listen to all these people talk about how the NFL preseason is at least one game too long, but then I listen to the same dude turn around and go crazy when the doggone preseason game is canceled. So it brings me back to my point that I think sometimes people just complain. So in my humble opinion, this was no deal at all. Honestly, I think I forgot the game was on until I believe you put a post in the sports group. And I think you said something about the game being canceled. I honestly, between Olympics and Power and my man Ray Donovan, watching that game was the first thing from my mind. on Sunday, and I honestly forgot that it was on, so I just would have caught the highlights anyway.
Well, you know how I feel about all the excess NFL that goes on ESPN. It seems like every day you can see the same show four times. So like I said, for me, it was a who cares. I could care less. I didn't have any interest in seeing that game. It really didn't rank. It wasn't in the top five things I wanted to watch on Sunday. I know the NFL allegedly lost some money, and I say allegedly because you know, when you're talking about profit, all you did was lose profit. You're not going to go in the red. You just lost profit. I don't know. I didn't hear anything about them having to pay back advertisers. I'm sure they probably have a clause in the contract that says if the game doesn't go on for some reason, you don't get your money back. I mean, what little time I worked, or what little time I was, you know, involved with marketing and the advertising. A lot of those contracts stipulate that you're paying for this, and if something happens, be it the president breaking in or something else, you've paid for your time. You'll still get your slot, but you might not get that, you know, if the game's not on,
right,
Nobody's watching, you're going to have less eyes, so you're not going to get your money back.
It is what it is.
But, yeah, like I said, I think for the NFL, because we do know the shield, that we know how the NFL is about the shield, about protecting their shield and their reputation to a point. Sometimes it seems like they don't care. So that's why I said I thought it was a big deal for them, but a no deal for me. I could care less.
The NFL was quick to let everybody know, too, that the Hall of Fame is separate from the NFL, and it's not a quote-unquote NFL-ran production. That was one of the first things that came out. This is sort of our thing, but sort of not really.
And I didn't follow up on that too much.
You know what I
chalked that under? You know how we'll have discussions in the group, and you'll say stop shielding, stop deflecting. That's all they just did was shielded and deflected.
Yeah,
you're the NFL, man. How can you allow somebody else to be in control of your product? Really?
Yeah, if I was them, I would have deflected none.
I would have just said it's our product. Well, first of all, the NFL should be in control of it. How are you now telling people? You already got players complaining about the amount of preseason games, back to your earlier point. You've already got players complaining about the amount of preseason games, and now you turn around and add a fifth game, and then you proceed to tell us, oh, by the way, this wasn't even our thing. We had nothing to do with this.
Yes. I guess they aren't in control of the field. It was the field, per se, that they, you know, it's not set up, and NFL groundskeeper guys aren't the ones overseeing what goes on.
If you're
even
a player, don't you have a problem with that, though, Paris?
No, because what happened
was, if you're a multi-billion-dollar player, you don't want go ahead.
Well, the field was inspected before the game. The NFLPA and the NFL signed off on the field. So the player's representative signed off. What happened where they screwed up is that's when they painted the logo. So they had signed off on the field. Everything was good to go. Okay, we're great. Okay, now they're going to put the logo on. And when they painted that logo on the middle of the field, that's what screwed everything up. They never put that logo down. Everybody's playing. If they put the logo down maybe 2 days before, everybody's playing. But when they did it the last minute, that's when they messed up.
Doesn't that make you wonder about the con? I mean, I've never painted a field, but I would think that you can't paint a field 2 hours before a game and think that it's going to be okay. That's just me.
You know, things happen, and I've been around long enough to where sometimes some things happen and you go, man, don't that just seem like common sense that you just wouldn't do that? And you're never amazed. You know, I'm never surprised no more really by what happens. Because I agree with you. I would think like, we're about to paint this field 2 hours before kickoff. There's a good chance that something might not go right with this.
Dude, that's fair.
You know, I never played in the field for a living, so what do I know?
Yeah, pretty much. I guess that's the way they looked at it as well. Well, let's keep it moving. We'll save the Olympics for last. A-Rod is retiring Friday. His last game will be Friday.
A-Rod.
What were your thoughts on A-Rod retiring?
Who cares? I mean, the guy was – one thing about him that separates him from some of the other steroid users, because it was him, it was Clemens, and it was one more guy where they pretty much attacked people. You know, A-Rod attacked
Scott Schilling, Kurt Schilling.
You know, yeah.
Was it Kurt Schilling?
You know, A-Rod, it might have been.
Or Palmeiro.
It wasn't Palmeiro just all of a sudden could speak English. You know, him and Sosa. Palmeiro was the guy that looked and said, I've never done that. But the thing with A-Rod is he just comes off like just a shiesty dude. You know, he attacked people. He sued the Baseball Players Association. You go through all – it reminds me of my man Lance Armstrong, who ruined people, you know, went after people, attacked people, got people fired and all this. And at the end of the day, yep, Lance was dirty. And that's the way I feel about A-Rod. And quite honestly, I'm just happy that he's gone. You know, he was one of those guys that was so talented, you know, but I get it. The era at the time, you know, everybody was doing it. It was, you know, the thing. So, you know, most players joined in. But he was one of those guys that was so talented that he didn't need any help to be one of the greatest to ever play the game. He needed no help. He needed no help at all. You know, some of the guys that we saw juice, you know, they might have needed that little extra bump. You know, like a Rafael Palmeiro, who was always a good hitter but wasn't known as a power hitter, you know, until he went down that road. Or my man, I'll never forget my man Brady Anderson, who went from like 13 to 50 home runs. And, you know, Mark McGwire, what did he do without the juice? And Sosa and these guys. But A-Rod was a phenom. You know, he was like Ken Griffey. You know, I think he broke in, what was he, 1920? And I was like, man, this kid is nasty. He reminds me now, you know, you see like the Carlos Correa's and the Corey Seager's, and you see some of those kids where you go, man, we're looking at an all-time great already, like a Mike Trout. So why ruin it? But he did it. I think it's apropos that he never makes it to 700 home runs. I think that's a good thing. And I think his career is over. I don't think nobody's going to pick him up, and he'll just fade away.
We can hope.
That's my thoughts on him. Yeah, that's my thoughts on A-Rod. I was never a real big A-Rod guy.
My very quick thoughts on A-Rod are, you know, I wasn't one of those people that really, I mean, you know, baseball never really cracked down on steroids till it was convenient or till they were getting bad press about it, I should say. You know, they didn't care when they didn't seem to really be bothered when Sammy and Mark McGwire were setting records, when Barry Bonds was doing what he was doing. So, you know, the whole steroid thing really doesn't play. Let me rephrase that. The steroid use doesn't really play into my opinion. What does play into my opinion goes back to what you said with the, you know, taking other people down with them, innocent people who had nothing to do with nothing. That was where he lost me. That was where he lost me. I wasn't real happy with how that went down. You know, it was real shaky. It was real shaky, real shady. The press conference to me seemed manufactured.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed staged to a point, like he was looking for some kind of sympathy. And although
again, I think Major League Baseball isn't innocent in the steroid situation. I'm not going to sit there and feel a lot of pity for this dude. You know, I get trying to defend your name, but when you know you're lying and you decide to take other people down with you, that's kind of where you lose me. You know, you can say what you want about Palmeiro. He didn't take any innocent people down. You can say what you want about, you know, any of the other guys. Maybe Barry Bonds. That one dude went to jail for Barry, but I'm sure he was well compensated for it. And that was a friend that made a I'm sure he made a conscious decision. I'm sure he's well compensated. So I don't feel bad for him either because he was part of the whole cover-up himself. But, you know, I think A-Rod, when he was clean, and I don't know when he got dirty, but when A-Rod was a young player, A-Rod could do everything. And he had all the potential in the world to be that guy. And, you know, steroids, I think, you know, pretty much messed up his reputation as far as that goes. Same thing with Sosa, same thing with McGuire, Bonds. I really don't understand how people give pitchers a pass because it gives them a chance to recover and or last in games longer. But it is what it is. It is what it is. He's gone. How close is he to that? Is he at 6-something with home runs? Isn't he close to 700 or something like that?
Yeah, I want to say he was like at 696 or something. He was.
So I can easily see him trying to come back next year. Yeah, I can easily see him trying to come back next year with somebody to get those home runs, but I hope he doesn't.
If he wasn't such trash, he might have a chance, but he's pretty doggone bad. I mean, he's bad.
Well, yeah. Then there's that.
So I think he's done.
I hope he stays done. Real quick, to get the callers, if you want to get in, don't forget to press the 1 button. Press the 1 if you want to get in on the conversation. So let's keep it moving. Let's go back to the NBA for a second, Paris. You asked a question about Ray Allen. The question you asked was, do you want to see Ray Allen again? So, Paris, do you want to see Ray Allen again?
Ray Allen, Steven Jackson, Derek Fisher. I know I'm forgetting a couple more. Emeka Okafor, Jermaine O'Neal, Baron Davis. All you guys, just stop. It was a good run. You had a good run. And I know, in my Derrick Rose voice, they just giving away money out here. But no, please, no, Ray. Ray, no. Don't do it. I really don't want to see him anymore. You know, like I said, he had a good run when he did retire. As he said, there's a reason I did retire. He just sort of stepped away. You know, you could see that, okay, his days of being an effective NBA player are pretty much done. You know, and if you do come back, I mean, don't you want to try to win a championship? And, you know, you hear Boston or Milwaukee, and it's like you're going to come back and put your body through all that for a second-round playoff exit? And, you know, I mean, will you be a rotation player? Will you even play? Can you even play every other night? So, no, a lot of these guys, I think it's just a money grab, you know. Can't blame them. You know, hey, a couple million dollars is a couple million dollars. But when I see guys coming out the woodwork like Jermaine O'Neal, I'm like, okay, wait a minute now. You know, the BS flag sort of goes up real quick. And I'm like, okay, what is this truly about? Because, you know, last time I saw you, you could barely walk. And now you're ready to play again. And Mecca Okafor, he's ready to play, but he's still 5 or 6 months away. So why don't you talk to me in 5 or 6 months when you prove that you can actually play? But with that being said, I don't think he makes it back. I don't think we see him again.
We've seen
an end of Ray.
I personally think we
we'll see Ray again. Well, hold on.
Yeah, I think we'll see him again. Do I care to see him again? No, because it goes to the same thing that it goes to something similar I said earlier about the competitor in me. When you're sitting back and you're picking and choosing your spots, you know, I mean, again, he's a free agent, so he has a right to pick and choose. But, you know, either come back because you love the game or and you can still play, you know, which would lead me to ask, why did you quit in the first place? If you could still play, why did you leave? I think he could still play. I just think he tried to handpick his spot, and it didn't really work out for him. So do I need to see him? No. Do I think we'll see him? Yes. Derek Fisher, do I need to see him? No. Do I think we'll see him? No.
No.
I damn sure don't see Derek Fisher.
No.
And
nobody
and you can pay
Derek
me
Fisher.
To want to watch Derek Fisher.
Nobody wants to see him in the locker room after what he pulled. Not only that, he looked real bad his last year in OKC. Let's not forget, Derek Fisher looked pretty much like trash. And Ray Allen didn't look good either. Now he'll be, what, 42 at some point in time during the season? Yeah, good luck with that.
Right.
There's a reason there's not a lot of 40-year-old players in the NBA. There's one thing Charles Barkley said, and I'll never forget it, is somebody made a comment and during, you know, the TNT show, and he's like, we're sitting up here. We're not sitting up here because we wanted to. We're sitting up here because we got old and can't play no more. You know, and that's just the reality of it. You know,
pretty much.
30.5 and you just can't do it.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's a
pretty honest and effective way of looking at it. You know, when you look at Shaq, you think that Shaq. You know, if you could just tell Shaq to go stand in that post right there and he didn't have to run between standing in the post, he could still dominate. But it's a complete game. And the team that he wanted to go to, Golden State, they don't need him. They added KD. So they don't need you. You know, you like you say, you got all these other old cats that wanna come back. Excuse me, I get it. I understand wanting to get a title, but at some point you have to look at the integrity of the game or whatever personal integrity you have and ask yourself, am I doing it for the right reasons?
And
I don't know what Ray's reasons are. Well, apparently Ray, you know, he likes to wait till the end of the season to start talking about his comeback.
So, you know, I don't think we'll, and let me rephrase, I don't think we'll see Ray in the preseason. I don't think we'll see him early in the regular season. I think we'll see Ray sometime after the All-Star break. So when I say I think we'll see him, I mean down the road we'll see him.
Okay. We shall see.
Which, again, goes back to the integrity.
Makes an appearance. You know, I was more excited because I heard they might be making a He Got Game Part 2, and, you know, I sort of like that movie. I was more excited about Jesus Shuttlesworth Part 2 than, you know, Ray Allen Part 2.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I'll sign up for the Part 2 of that movie. Matter of fact, Spike Lee should save us all and call him and tell him they need to start shooting a movie, like, in 2 months when the NBA season starts. But
you
need to shoot now.
So basically making sure he doesn't go back?
Yeah, pretty much. And then keep calling for mistakes and reshoots.
I wish it was that simple. But, either way. All right, let's keep moving. Again, anybody want to get in? Oh, we have somebody that wants to get in on the conversation. Let's bring him in. It's the 310 area code. 310 area code, you're on with Paris and Corey. Who is this?
How's it going, guys? It's Tom. Hey, Dad.
What's going on? How you doing, man?
Lakers.
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, guys.
Where are you, man?
I've been working, and I haven't, the times have not lined up. The times have not lined up, but I'm driving now, so that's normally the time I get to call in.
Well,
all
Tom,
good,
well,
man. We appreciate you.
Yeah, Tom, let's get into it. I mean, it's good to hear from you. So give me a recap of the Lakers offseason. What did you like? What didn't you like? And what do you see this team this year? Where do you see you guys going?
It was a pretty frustrating offseason, I think. I've been saying this for a long time, but I think that if you just look at what's going on in the front office, they've been
mm-hmm.
saying this thing for so long of we got to be good by 2016 or we got to make the playoffs by 2016. And somewhere along the way, I think they let the fact that they were the Lakers get to them a little too much, because at some point I think they should have realized the fans were on board with what the team had become, which was, I mean, like, yeah, we're having a hard time selling free agents, but this is the year where I think we could have made at least a respectable jump into showing potential free agents that we had some players that could eventually be something. I mean, the biggest issue I have with what the Lakers did is that the opportunity that they had is something that really doesn't come along very often, in the sense that you have all these young assets in a market where free agent money actually does matter, right? I mean, like, if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, I mean, yeah, there's aberrations, like they'll get Monroe or things like that. But for the most part, there's only four or five markets where free agent money truly matters in terms of attracting big-time free agents. And the Lakers had a
right.
chance to have potentially, you know, four guys, you know, let's say that Randall doesn't pan out. Right, he's just a player that can get traded. Let's say Clarkson just doesn't get better at all. Those are both still infinitely tradable players. And assuming that you just had Russell and Brandon Ingram, right, and those two guys were under contract, you still have those two guys who are very legitimate NBA players under contract for less than $10 million. With the cap going to where it is, it was such an advantage. And like, I don't know what they were thinking. I mean, the Mozgov contract is just – I mean, that was just atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't want to amnesty your player the second you sign him. I mean, the Mozgov contract was just a complete misevaluation of talent, a complete misevaluation of the market. I mean, you look around, like, Biombo, who I don't love either, but at least he's young and works with the team's timeline. I mean, you can get someone like that for $72 million. I mean, the real crime about the Mozgov signing was twofold. One, it's a horrible signing. Two, it's a horrible signing compounded with the fact that they did it, like, the second the market opened, whereas if they just sat there for 5 days, eventually Golden State would have handed them Bogut or something for nothing for on a one-year contract. I have no problem with the money they gave Mozgov. I have a problem with the years. I honestly wouldn't have cared if they handed Mozgov 38 – what I don't even know what the max he could have made. I wouldn't have batted an eye if they'd given him 1 year, $30 million, because who cares? It's the years and tying up valuable cap space down the line that hurts. The Luol Deng contract I don't love either. I think it's much worse when taken with the Mozgov contract. I think if it had just been the Deng deal, I could have been a little more on board with that. But the Mozgov signing is just terrible. I thought they made a couple decent moves with, like, Calderon. But the one thing I will say about them from a positive sense is that if the Lakers and Celtics front office could just combine, if the Lakers could be the people that drafted and the Celtics front office could be the people that signed the free agents and did all the trades,
right,
you have one of the most amazing front office, because the Lakers really did – do a hell of a job drafting, and they almost always do. I mean, getting a Zubac, who looks like a pretty legit player, I don't know if you guys watch Summer League at all, but he looks legit.
Yep.
And getting him with, I think it was the 32, 33 overall pick, I mean, it makes the Mozgov thing seem even worse, but they really do draft well. And it's, I don't know. I mean, I guess that the blow is a bit lessened by the fact that, like, every single potential big free agent other than, like, Blake Griffin is more or less off the market for 2 to 3 more years. There's no Harden or Westbrook coming up anytime super soon. I have a hard time believing Durant moves again a year later. LeBron's going to be on the Cavs for a long time. So it's like it lessens the blow a bit because I think a lot of the people you'd want on the team as a big free agent is not going to be around. But still, it's like, I just don't know what they were thinking, because I think if they just sat this offseason out, that they would have had a tremendous advantage going into next year with all that cap space. I think the young guys established themselves a bit more, and just, I don't know. I mean, it's just frustrating because it just was so dumb. It really was dumb. I don't know what else to say. Most of their time.
Paul, let me ask you this question about, there's a lot of, and I don't want to speak for you. I'll just speak for the Laker fans and the sports groups that Paris and I tend to venture in. Laker fans, again, so when I say Laker fans, I'm referring to these people in these two groups. I don't want to make it sound like I'm talking about everybody. Tend to believe that every big-name free agent is coming to the Lakers. I say that to ask you this. Russell Westbrook, how big of a letdown as a Laker fan? Because there are a lot of Laker fans that were saying, oh, we're going to get Russ. He's from here. He wants to come here. How big of a blow was that to you? Were you on board with thinking you were going to get Russ, or are you just kind of on the camp of it's cool, we, you know, whatever?
The Westbrook one definitely hurts more than any of these other ones, because the other ones were still just like the whole Lakers lore. The Lakers are going to get this guy and that guy. Westbrook, I did feel like there was a very legitimate shot at Westbrook in the sense that he's from LA. I don't think the Lakers put the full, I mean, you can take the example of DeMar DeRozan not coming to the Lakers, but I do also get the sense that, like, DeMar DeRozan and Westbrook, they're on two totally different levels. I mean, the full court press you put on to get one of those guys versus the other would have been different. I think the Westbrook one hurts the most, but at the same time, I mean, you know, what's he going to come next year? I don't really know. Does he make the team make a ton of sense? I mean, you'd have to trade Russell probably. Maybe you could move him over to the two. I'd say that one definitely hurts the most of any so far. I would say the other one that hurt a lot at the time, even though it doesn't look as bad anymore, was when Kevin Love got traded to the Cavs, because I thought Kevin Love had Lakers painted all over him 2 years in a row. I thought that he was going to opt out of the Cavs and the Lakers were going to have a chance, or he was going to go for a 1-1 and the Lakers were going to have a chance. And I thought the Lakers were going to get him straight up the year before he was traded to the Cavs and he was still on the Timberwolves. So I think if I can point at two people that seemed like the most likely to come to the Lakers, it'd be those two, whereas the other ones just haven't seemed. And I guess Aldridge hurt a lot because it seemed like we were at the top of his list, and that was just like a – that one just hurt because it seemed like he wanted to come, and then we just totally blew it. So they've all hurt in the sense that we're not used to this. I mean, we are not used to getting – to A, being this bad for this long, or B, just rebuilding with our own homegrown guys. I mean, at least in my lifetime – I guess you can count Kobe, but, like, we already had Shaq at that point. I can't remember a time where we rebuilt with homegrown guys. We always go out and make the big, big trade or sign the big, big, big free agent. And the fact of the matter is it's not coming for a long time. And I don't think there's anyone on the free agent market, unless Durant decides he's leaving again, that's really going to do anything. So it comes down to, can the young guys develop? There's not a title coming for a while. So it really starts moving more towards the 2019. 18. I mean, you got to start looking at 2018, 2019 rather than this year or next year.
Summer 2018, Paul George and DeMarcus Cousins are both free agents.
Yeah.
Cousins is
the one I still think is a possibility, but the real problem is that if Julius Randle and Jordan Clarkson don't take up, he's crazy. But I also think in the right situation, he could be fine. The real issue is unless Julius Randle or Jordan Clarkson take a big leap, the Lakers are in that position where, yeah, we finally have assets, but, like, we have assets where we'd have to completely gut the team in order to package them for a star. So it's like, could
right.
we package something to get Cousins? Sure, but are we going to package D'Angelo Russell and Brandon Ingram? Like that, then we've accomplished nothing. So,
well, I had put it out there to Lakers fans, and I was actually surprised with the response I got. And I posed the question in one of the sports groups is, if you could trade D'Angelo Russell and Ingram for Russell Westbrook, would you do it? And most of those guys have fallen in love with Ingram because of a couple preseason games and said no. And I'm of the ilk, if I have a chance to get a top five NBA player, I'm doing it. Especially considering if I did that, I would still be left with Randall and Clarkson. I would have been all over that. But the Lakers fans sort of told me that I was crazy on that one.
I don't think you're crazy. I think what's tough is you almost just have to look at it in like a bigger picture sense, right? So let's say that Mozgov and Deng had not happened, which especially since Mozgov and Deng happened, I think you for sure wouldn't do that trade. But assuming Mozgov and Deng didn't happen, let's say you trade Russell and Ingram for Westbrook. So now you have Westbrook, Clarkson, and Randall. And call it $70 million in cap space. Even if you manage to sign literally every free agent not named Kevin Durant you want next year. So this year you're going to suck. You're going to be absolutely horrendous. You'll have Westbrook. He'll score 39 points a game with 15 rebounds and 15 assists, but that no one else is going to do anything. You're going to lose a ton of games. So next year, let's say you manage to sign Blake Griffin, Gordon Hayward, and one other guy, like everyone you can possibly get, you're still probably not a title team, and you're capped out. Like, yeah, you could turn yourself into a good team, but at this point, the most upsetting thing about the Mozgov Deng thing is that, like, if you added Westbrook and didn't do the Deng and Mozgov thing, now you are starting to look at something where it's like, okay, wow. Like, if you add one more superstar and these young guys start panning out, or you package Russell and call it Randall for Cousins, then you have Ingram and Clarkson and Westbrook and Cousins, and then still have like $30 million in cap space. Now you're starting to look at something super interesting where you could build a really excellent team that could compete for a title. I just don't see any route to a title, especially with Mozgov and Deng on the team, where you have, I mean, once Westbrook comes in, you're paying him $30 million. You're paying Mozgov 16. You're paying Deng 18. So yeah, you have some money to mess around with, but like, is bringing Blake Griffin and even a Gordon Hayward make that a title team? I still think you get smoked by the Warriors. So it's just like, it's tough. I think it's tough, but I think at this point, you kind of got to go all in with the young guys and hope it pans out.
Yeah, Hayward is going to be my buyer beware guy from next summer, because Hayward is a nice player, but he's another one of those guys that's about to get $20 million and score like 18 points a game and leave fans wanting a whole lot more.
You know what the thing is, though? There's going to be a period of time here, and I would have said the same thing a month and a half ago, but after giving Timothée Mozgov and Luol Deng $18 million apiece, my God, sign me up for $25 million of Gordon Hayward. Like, at least he's good. Like, he's not a perfect player. He'll be overpaid, but my God, I mean, with Bismack Biyombo making $20 million a year and Evan Fournier making $23 million a year, I mean, sign me up for Hayward at 27, because who cares? Like, if teams are going to spend their money in that stupid of fashions, like, at least get a borderline all-star, you know? Like, not washed up. Yeah. I don't know. I agree.
Man, I've been sick for a week, and I'm trying my hardest not to laugh out loud, because it just makes me want to cough. And when they signed Mozgov, I remember out loud I said, "Oh my God, man, for real, Mozgov."
The worst part is that they signed him at 12:01 on the opening night of free agency. As if, in fact, I was playing a softball game, and the game ended, and one of my friends looks at his phones. He goes, "Wow, Mozgov got $64 million." And I went, "What stupid team gave him $64 million?" And he goes, "The Lakers." I went, "Oh God."
Oh, that had to break
your heart immediately.
It's just, what were they thinking? Yeah. Like, did they think that the fans were going to come out and be like, "Yeah, Mozgov"? I mean, I don't know. What I was really hoping, and what I'm surprised more teams didn't do, is just think of all the teams that had cap space. Like, why not go up to Luol Deng and say, "Here's 2 years, $60 million. Like, what? Like, it's not like money matters these, like, especially the Lakers who are raking it in. Like, why not just ridiculously overpay for a couple years, but have the flexibility? Like, why not go to Mozgov and say, "How about 1 year, $28 million? Why not go to Marvin Williams or Jared Dudley or, like, some middle-of-the-road player that can help you and say, "Here's 1 year, $27 million. It's more than you're going to make in your one-year contract. I mean, in your, like, three-year contract. Just come play for a single year. And then you wipe the books again the next year with no risk." I just don't get why they tied themselves into so many teams did this. It's not even the Lakers. Like, forget the Lakers. Look at the Houston Rockets signing Ryan Anderson for 4 years and $80 million. Or the Orlando Magic tied themselves into, like, three different contracts for $75 million. Like, it's not just the Lakers. Like, I can't hate on the Lakers so hard because there's, like, you know, 10 or 11 teams that just locked up players these insane contracts. I think Mozgov was one of the worst of all of them, but, like, they're all pretty bad.
There is no doubt in my mind that the Houston Rockets are going to regret that contract.
Yeah, for sure.
They're going to regret that.
It's kind of those, you know, there were so many contracts handed out where if I'm the GM of a team, you sit there and, you know, like, there's not even a term for it. I'll call it an of bluffable contract, right? Like, let's say Mozgov's agent or Ryan Anderson's agent came in and said, "Hey, we have, you know, 4 years and $64 million on the table from Dallas or something. If you don't sign it, they're going to do it." You just sit there and you say, "Okay, go sign with, like, we're not paying you 4 years, $64 million." It's just, I don't get how certain teams got bluffed into this. But the NBA, I mean, part of this is the NBA's fault. Part of this is the player association's fault because they could have had this cap increase happen over, you know, they could have spread it out over 5 years.
Yeah,
instead, everyone chose to have it hit right away. And what happened was, by having $25 million of extra cap space hit right away, you created an unprecedented situation that allowed a 73-win team, but forget their 73 wins, that allowed the best team in the league that was capped out an additional $25 million that just happened to coincide with an unhappy, potential all-time great scorer who wants to leave a team. Like, I mean, that's got to be one of the greatest free agent signings of all time. And it took ridiculous circumstances to have it happen. A cap that increases by 30%. Like, it's everything had to happen at once for that to happen. So,
you know,
on
what?
Top of that, yeah. But
you can blame three people for that. You can blame the NBA Players Association, because when the NBA wanted to ease it in, they said no. You can blame Steph Curry's ankles, because that's the reason why he was on that 4-year, $44 million deal. And you can also thank Harrison Barnes for turning down that $16 million a year last year. So it became a perfect storm. Because if none of those things happen, KD's not in Golden State.
Right. I mean, I don't even think I've talked to you guys since then. I mean, that's just like, I don't know. I don't know if I've talked to you guys since then. That is just.
No.
That is game, set, match. I mean, I know there's a bunch of people out there that are like, they'll need time to mesh and blah, blah, blah. Like, Miami couldn't do it in year one. It's like Miami had amazing players, but they had players, A, that made no sense together. I mean, Bosch maybe made a little sense, but LeBron and Wade made no sense together. They didn't really spread the floor. They were just so absurdly and ridiculously talented that they were able to push themselves to the title and probably should have won it, but they did it. Like, this is a different thing. This is just this is replacing Harrison Barnes with Kevin Durant. On a team that, like, this team is going to be absurd. They probably won't win 73 games because I don't think that's going to happen. But, like, I just don't understand.
Nope.
On top of that, they've more or less forced the Cleveland Cavaliers to trade Kevin Love. Like, if you're the Cleveland, I mean, I know they want a title, but you have to trade Kevin Love. You're going to trot Kevin Love out there to guard Durant? Like, what? I mean, it just, they have to trade him. So,
The question with that is, what can you get for Kevin Love at this point? I mean, who's going to overpay for Kevin Love?
If I am the Cleveland Cavaliers,
Jahlil Okafor for him. That's the new rumor. Okafor or what's the other big guy that they have from Kentucky?
Noel
for Okafor. I mean, for Kevin Love. That's making a rumor circuit now.
I don't know why Philly would make that trade, but yeah, it's Philly.
It's Philly.
Even though they have ownership, they still, even though they're under new management, still Philly, I guess.
Cavs, I literally make a plan for the first 20 games of the season that every play is going to be run for Kevin Love, that Kevin Love's going to shoot 30 times a game, that everything's going to focus on him, and I'm going to drive whatever has to be driven to have him average 30 and 15 a game, and then I trade him the second anyone's willing to pay me something good for him. I mean,
yeah, that's about all they
can
do. I mean, because right now they can't get much for him, I don't think. So
I still think there's some kind of – the thing that Kevin Love is going to get dealt for is – because right now everyone's thinks Kevin Love is a big name, so he has to be dealt for a big name. I think he ends up getting dealt to, like, for a few smaller pieces, and people are going to look at it and be like, what? Like, I could definitely see him getting dealt to, like, the Pistons for, like, Caldwell Pope and just, like, some pieces that make it so that the Cavs can both spread the floor and defend the Warriors, because that's all that matters, right? You have, like, if you're going into that series and have any hope to beat them, you basically have to say, we're going to spread as many three-point shooting defenders around LeBron as possible, and we're going to hope that LeBron and Kyrie play utterly and completely out of their mind, and that's the – and it gives them a puncher, and that Tristan Thompson is able to make Draymond Green have a hard time getting defensive rebounds, right? Like, that. I mean, so, like, I would look at – whether it be taking some kind of package from Boston for some not-so-big-name players like an Avery Bradley and some other guys, or a package from the Pistons, or, you know, I think there's an interesting Phoenix Suns trade out there with a couple guys. There's something that's out there for Love, because I think Love still has some value, and they're just going to have to trade him for some not-big-name players. But they're going to have to trade him because, I mean, what are the Cleveland Cavaliers – like, let's say they don't – trade him. Like, what do you play against the Warriors when the Warriors come out with that lineup? I mean, you can't put
they would have to
put Love on the court.
Love is going to be on the bench. They'd have to trot out Brown at the four, Thompson at the five, and then they would go Kyrie, Shumpert, and J.R. Smith.
Right. And that's not going to get it done. You need to turn Love into a very legit small forward, and I think that's incredibly difficult to do, but maybe it's out there. I mean, you have to increase his value. You just have to increase. I mean, the funny thing is you know who would be fantastic to turn Love into is Andrew Wiggins. That would be perfect. So that's the problem.
All right. Well, Tom, once again, as usual, we appreciate your call, my friend. Thank you for checking in. We are going to get down here for our last. Hey, man, we appreciate it. We appreciate it, man. Thank you. You have a good night.
Thank you,
yes. Take it easy.
Enjoyed it.
No doubt.
Take it easy, Tom.
All right. Well, with that said, Paris, we're down for our last 10 minutes or so. So let's get into a little Olympic talk. I don't want to get into what just popped across my screen because I know some people are taping it. I guess at this point it is what it is. But let's just go with the swimming events are pretty good this evening. Let's go with that. What's your take so far, Paris, on just the Olympics as a whole? Where are you right now with them?
I think Phelps was born with gills because that dude is really, 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 really special.
Phelps is an amazing cat, man.
Hey, man, our women's gymnastics team, man, it's dope.
Sick.
They're some hogs, too. They did their doggone thing, man. They did their thing. And, of course, we know what's going on in basketball. I don't know if you watched today, but did you know Spain lost again?
I saw
and
that Spain lost.
Yeah, I was watching the game, and I kept going, they'll turn it around. Oh, they'll turn it around. And I was like, oh, they're in trouble. And they let the Brazilians hang around, and somehow Big Chris and the boys took them down. So that's crazy, you know, for the number two ranked team in the world to be 0-2 in just a preliminary round. But on the good side, as a fan, this may actually be beneficial to us because Spain should be so low that we should get a U.S.-Spain matchup early once they start playing for medals. Which before we were going to get that until the gold medal.
If they make it to the medal round,
I'm going to.
They might not even make it to the medal round at
0-3. 0-2.
0-2, yeah. So they have to make it to the medal round.
Yeah, 0-2.
But
if they go 3-2, they should make it, I would think.
At this point, can you give them 3 wins?
I would have to look and see who else is on the side of that bracket. Because I think they have Nigeria over there and a couple other patsies. So they should be okay, but, you know, hey, that's what I said their first 2 games when I thought they were going to win.
Well, I can honestly say I've probably watched a total of 2 quarters of the NBA Olympic coverage, and this is including the warm-up games they played around the United States. I'm just not interested in watching 40-point blowouts, man. I'm not that hard up for basketball that I can just sit and watch what's basically, you know, pro players against high school, you know, level talent or college-level talent. It doesn't intrigue me at all. I hope they win.
Whoa. Too far, my friend.
It doesn't intrigue me at all.
First, let's not paint a broad stroke. I don't think anyone.
You're going to tell me Venezuela has talented players?
I think that for the most part, everybody sort of shares the brain on this, and that nobody watches the 40-point blowout. I'm lucky if I can make it to halftime. The Venezuela game was sort of cool because it was like a 1-point game within the first quarter. And then I looked at the halftime,
I watched, here we go. That was where I watched, like, the most basketball because it was actually close.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the United States is just supremely talented when it comes to these other teams, which is why you really kind of wanted Spain to be there. You wanted to see Spain, you know, France.
We played France Friday night, I believe.
I'd be interested in checking out.
And Australia tomorrow, you know, we've had people in the sports group that think Australia is going to give us a good run because, you know, Delhi and Bogan and the boys are over there giving teams work. Patty Mills. I wish Ben Simmons was on the team. I was reading something that he was a little upset that he wasn't on the World Championship team last year, so he's sort of mad at Australia right now, but I sort of wish Ben was on that team.
Yeah, it would have been nice to see him go up against an NBA talent like that.
Yeah, I'm holding out hope that one of these countries step up and we have a competitive game. Because, you know, any given
that's
game,
all I'm
maybe a twisted ankle here or there, and, you know, we shoot bad, and, you know, the other team does one of those 70% from the floor type Villanova type deals. You know, that'll be what it'll take. And I'm hoping we get one of those. You know, I think that at some point in time during this tournament that we'll have a game where, you know, we might only win by 20 and it's actually a decent basketball game. But two, the first two teams we played, China and Venezuela, I mean, they're pretty doggone bad. And the poor Chinese, I mean, how many times do we have to beat up on them? You know?
Dude.
It seemed like,
man,
every exhibition game was against the Chinese.
Zero interest. Zero interest. As of right now, I'm looking at the ESPN website, and the U.S. has a total medal count of 23, and China is right behind us at 17. Of course, we still haven't had track and field. China doesn't pose a threat in any of the, at least the short distance track events. I don't know what they're going to do in the field events. But China's really improved their gymnastics, their swimming, and some of the other events that people really don't, you know, keep an eye on. But I didn't realize that China was going to be – I thought we were going to kind of run away with the gold count, I mean with the medal count, and we still can. A little surprised by that. Have you been checking out – I mean, how much – I know you checked out the women's gymnastics. Did you happen to see what the men's gymnastics team did? I know they started off really slow last night, and I don't know how they finished.
No, I didn't. For some reason, the women is always more appealing to me. I don't know why. Like, with the swimming, I can watch both. I love watching both, you know. Quick note, if you didn't know, Serena Williams lost today. She went out in the third round. I forgot the young lady's name she lost to. I've heard her name before, but she went out in the third round. So the Williams girls are done for the Olympics. And I'm just going to say this, Corey, and it might be awkward, but if I was Serena, I'd find a new doubles partner because, you know, Venus, like, really at this point, like, really doesn't bring much to the table. I don't know how that'll go over Thanksgiving time, but, yeah, I'd have to go, hey, sis, we need to have a talk. Because I would be looking to replace her, like,
if possible. Yeah, I'm gonna go with that. Ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, I know. Because you know that's family, and that's not right. Maybe I'm just a bad dude. Because if that was my brother, I'd be like, "Hey, Rick, let me holler at you, bro."
I can't laugh, man. Body won't let me laugh.
I'd be like, it ain't personal, bro. It ain't personal, brother. It's just a little business. Just a little business. I just feel like, you know, this will be good for me and you. I try to sell it, you know. This will help both of us in the long run. I'll try to
that's your sales pitch, huh? Okay. Let me know how that sales pitch works out for you. But, you know, I think things happen, I guess. I don't know. I think she's become a victim of her own success to the point that we expect her to win everything she's involved in, and then when she doesn't, you know, people tend to go with the choke label. And, you know, you can't win them all. You can't win them all, and
yeah.
I think she's won more of them than many people. So I'm not going to trip. I mean, maybe she was tired, or maybe she just got beat. You know, I mean,
yeah.
It was a team event,
well,
so you
lost,
can't just.
Well, they lost to the team, and she lost singles today, too. That's what they said, the third round she went out.
Oh, she lost the singles, too. Oh, well, I can't blame
Venus
for that.
But I think we have a couple. I think Madison Keys and Sloan are still alive. I believe she won yesterday. So I think we still have a couple girls going. As far as the men, I don't even know if we have a team. That's how much coverage that they've received.
And I'm not interested in watching Olympic tennis. That's what I'm talking about. I like watching the Olympics to watch sports like that. Like basketball, I see all the time. It's cool, whatever.
I like
watching those kind of eye sports, man.
Bro, Fiji's rugby team is out of hand.
Is that the one with the brother on it that's running like a 4.2 40?
I don't know, but they're all brothers or Fijians or whatever the hell they call. But they are out of hand the way they do things to teams. I see why they're like the best team in the world, I believe, because I was watching.
Are they the team that comes out and does that dance in front of the opponent?
I know that's New Zealand. You know they do that dance. Yeah, but for Fiji, if you get a chance and they're on the tube, watch them, man. They're impressive. They play a different brand of rugby because as athletic as they are, and they were just running over dudes. And I was like, man, in the U.S., they blew a rugby game. And they were up, and they gave up like a last-second score. Rugby is one of those sports where it's two sports that I've actually tried to watch, and I consider myself a pretty quick dude, you know, and especially when it comes to sports. But rugby and cricket, I still really don't know what the hell is going on, and I've tried to figure it out. I've sort of got the score down now, but as far as the rules, I really don't have a slightest idea. Maybe by the end of the Olympics, I'll have it figured out. But the U.S. played a pretty good game. It was close, at least.
I rented a rugby game for PlayStation years ago, and the utter confusion on what my goal and what I was trying to do, I can't put into words. I had no idea why are we all in the – what I now know is the scrum. Why are we all in the scrum?
Yeah.
How do you decide who gets the ball? Well, what happens when you get it? Okay, well, you got to run it. Once you get the ball, then the objective is just to run and not get hit. Well, then it's basically football, you know, from the standpoint of running and trying not to get hit. But then it's like, okay, well, when do you kick it? When do you drop kick? I can watch it, but I won't pretend to understand it.
Yeah, I just like watching guys get hit and go, ooh, I tell that's all hurt. Corey, this is a true story. I never forget. I was stationed in Japan, and we're out there and we're having flag football practice, right? And these guys come over. These short dudes, legs look like tree trunks, and they come over and let us know that they're starting a rugby team. And is anyone interested? And all I can remember is looking around. And at the same time, we all went, nope. Because I was like, I'm not about to get out there and get involved in that. I'm like, because nobody's hitting me like that without pants on.
Too old,
if I have, yeah. At that time, you know, I still had I had some juice. But I'm like, nah, not without pants on. You're not hitting me like that. Because that was just different.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, at a certain age, you can't take shots coming across the middle without pads on.
No.
At some point, you got to put that to an end. Well, with that said, T, do you have anything else this evening you need to get off your chest before we get out of here?
Oh no, I'm good. Just I'm sure we'll be back on next week. We'll have preseason game, so maybe we can give a little wrap up of what we've seen the first week. We can start getting into our preview shows. We can also start getting into the fantasy aspect, as you know, during the season, it's half real football talk and half fantasy talk. And we'll just see where that takes us. And Hard Knocks starts tonight, if you didn't know. Now,
what was that?
I can't help myself. Hard Knocks starts tonight on our HBO.
Oh, okay. I
now,
set the DVR because I'm actually going to try to go back to work tomorrow. So
I have absolutely no interest in the St. Louis Rams, but the Hard Knocks fan in me lets me know that I will at least have to check in and see what it's all about. So that gets started tonight.
Well, I'm going to record it, and I'll probably just watch it at work tomorrow. But, all right, that's cool.
Next week we'll start a little fantasy football. We can get into a quarterback position or a running back position. We'll figure it out, and we can start getting into that a little bit because it is about that time. So, with that said, for my man P Dog Paris Daniel, I am Corey G. We are out of here. Thank everybody for listening, and next week we'll do it all over. Well, everybody have a good evening. We're out of here. Peace.
You don't like it? Keep listening. Yo, it's a Saturday. I'm home. 6:30 chilling, surfing the internet.